A reading from the Acts of the Apostles comes from what is known as St. Paul's second missionary journey. When St. Paul, after his conversion, during time of prayer, they experience a type of urging from the Holy Spirit to go out and proclaim the gospel. As we know, Jesus says, go out to the whole world to proclaim the good news. And so there was an urgency within the heart of St. Paul, urgency within the heart of St. Barnabas. And so what they did is they went, was known as the first missionary journey, starting with Antioch, and they'll go through the various cities of Turkey, present-day Turkey, and they would establish communities of faith. After this missionary journey, they went back to Jerusalem. There was that first council in Jerusalem, whereby they had to make a decision, what do they do? Do the Gentile Christians, if they become Christians, if they wish to become Christians, should they go by way of becoming Jewish first and embrace Jewish faith? And they made a decision that that's not necessary, because the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of Gentiles just as he does with those who are of Jewish background. The Holy Spirit comes down and they receive the gifts. So after the second mission, after the journey, after the Jerusalem Council, St. Paul wishes to go back to the various cities that he established as Christian communities to kind of strengthen them, encourage them. But we know right from the beginning, somehow the Holy Spirit was guiding him in a different way. Yes, they did visit some places, but then he wanted to move and go north of today's Turkey near Black Sea. And the Holy Spirit would not allow him. They felt that they were not able to go. So they went across, they want to go to the northern portion of Turkey, today's, you know, the western, northwestern part. And once again, they felt like the Holy Spirit was not guiding them there. So they went into Troas, and Troas was a port city right near Istanbul or the Constantinople, or Byzantium as known in the ancient world. There was a city there, and the Lord gave St. Paul a vision. He saw this Macedonian man. He says, come to us, bring the gospel to us. And it was such a powerful experience of St. Paul that he decided to go forward, and this he will go to what is known as European continent, because before it was in the Middle East and the Asian continent, and he moved into Europe. And he quickly went through an island, Samothrace, and other places there. And then he finally settled in Philippi. It was a major port city, in the Philippi. Was in a Roman colony at that time, but there's quite well-to-do place. And we see how God is guiding St. Paul and his companions to proclaim the gospel. So go out to the whole world and proclaim this gospel. And in Philippi, the first thing they do is they go to the synagogue, and then they wanted to go along the river and spend time in prayer. But it is there that they found some women, and one of them was Lydia. She was a merchant, producer of goods with purple, which she was well-to-do woman. She was a woman of faith. She believed in God. And she's the one who invited them to come. Her whole household became Christian. She was, later on in the future, she was like a leader of the community of faith there. But Philippi became one of the Christian communities that St. Paul really appreciated and loved. They were supportive. They were encouraging. They did many, many things for St. Paul. And they were spreading the gospel. And so we see how the Holy Spirit was guiding St. Paul, and subsequently he went to additional portions of Europe, Corinth, and then finally he went by way of Athens, as you know. although in Athens he could not bring anyone into the fold at that time, into the Christian faith. But what I want to say here is this: the Holy Spirit that Jesus speaks of today is the one that we can see in a concrete way, guiding St. Paul, guiding Barnabas, guiding Silas, guiding Timothy, guiding Mark, John Mark, you know, all those who eventually were very, very important members of the early Christian church. And John Mark became the writer of the gospel, Mark's gospel. So we see how God guides. But Jesus says to us, when the advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, when the advocate comes, then the Spirit of truth, he will lead you to the fullness of truth. He will lead you to the knowledge of God the Father. So when you hear God's word, when you hear God's word proclaimed, when you read the Gospels, when you read the Scriptures, the word is no longer like, you know, words of some philosopher, but we accept these words as words of truth, the real truth, the truth that is salvific, truth that transforms us, that we are able to change our hearts, being formed by God. And this is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Spirit is with us, so whether we are aware or not. I always say, and at least I have seen people who have been so much open to the Holy Spirit, we see by the fruits you shall know them. Young child, you know, after the loss of his mother, John Paul, you know, no longer having a mother, and the father did not know what to do. And so, but he said, you know, son, I want you to do something every day of your life is to pray to the Holy Spirit. So he gave him a prayer to the Holy Spirit. And look at the life of St. John Paul II, how the Holy Spirit guided him, protected him. Yes, did not spare him difficulties, troubles, problems. That's not the case. But he formed his heart. And where the Holy Spirit is, look what happened to Blessed Mother. Yes, the Holy Spirit came upon her, the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit's power, the birth of the Son of God, the eternal Word becomes flesh. We speak of Blessed Mother as being the spouse of the Holy Spirit, because listen, listening to the inspirations, you know, the saying, yes, let it be done to me according to your word. The Holy Spirit is very much alive and is with us today. Anyone who allows that Holy Spirit to come and to find place, find dwelling within us, because we have to invite, we have to say yes, because yes, the Holy Spirit can be given, but we may have such preoccupations that we're not really interested because we're thinking of business, house, whatever it may be, repairs, whatever it may be. And we're concerned about the things that we need to do, so much so that we kind of set aside. And we may not be able to even hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit, the inspirations. But this is what the saints did. I always look also to the early companions of Saint Ignatius of Loyola, how they spend time together and discerning what they should do. And they're waiting for the grace of the Holy Spirit to bring about a communion and unity of desire, wish, or missionary endeavor, being impelled by the Holy Spirit. They went out and do extraordinary things. So the Holy Spirit as being a gift, special gift, Jesus speaks of him as a consoler, as someone who can console our hearts, even amidst difficulties, someone, an advocate, someone who can speak on our behalf. You know, St. Paul says, sometimes we are not even able to know what to pray for. And he says, but the Spirit within us prays for the intentions, because once we have submitted, surrender ourselves to God, and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then we're able to do and listen, and the Holy Spirit can pray within us, asking for the various graces, giving us the various graces. You know that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we have the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the bread and wine becoming the body and blood of Christ. The power of the Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. We receive the forgiveness of sins through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, through his suffering, dying, rising, yes, because the Jesus offered himself, but it's the gift of the Spirit, the confirmation, you know, the outpouring of the sevenfold gifts that we are to receive. But many times we receive confirmation and we're not aware what we have received. So therefore these gifts are dormant. They're not there, they're not alive, because we have not allowed them to come out, because we go and we consider confirmation something like a graduation from religious education system. So therefore it ends there, is not being tapped on anymore. And so we have extraordinary riches which are there within us, but they're dormant. So therefore, once again, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to reawaken in us the knowledge, understanding, the wisdom, the fear of God, that we may be able to use these gifts for ourselves, for others, for the good of a church, for the good of our world, because then we are able to know the truth. Because that's the Spirit of truth. This is Jesus also speaks of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth that is given to us. So to await, as we shall, you know, this Thursday, for many of the, well, perhaps some of the dioceses we celebrate on Thursday, some of the dioceses moved it to Sunday for the, for the Ascension, you know, the Solemnity of Ascension. But nonetheless, from Thursday on, we are preparing to this first novena, the 9 days of preparation for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's where novena comes from. The original one is Jesus told the disciples, go and await the coming of the Spirit. When he left, when he ascended into heaven, wait for the outpouring. And this waiting was the 9 days in preparation for the outpouring, the first novena that we have. So it's not Catholic. Sometimes we think novenas are Catholic. No, they're Bible gifts. We call them 9 days, and we call them by Latin name novena. But these are days of prayer, days of preparation, the 9 days of preparation for the outpouring of grace. Jesus says to us today, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. He'll give testimony of who I am. As the Son of God, he'll give a testimony that I am the atoning sacrifice. He will testify that I am the truth, that what I have proclaimed, I am the truth, the way, the life of everyone, that the Lord is true and present in the Eucharist. The Holy Spirit will testify. He will testify also that you have been with me from the beginning. The Lord has called us. He has given us the gift to be with him. Yesterday we had a beautiful gospel on love. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Be within me, remain in me, and you'll receive extraordinary blessings and graces. And this is by way of understanding, knowing that this is the case, that we are children of God, that we can't even grasp who we are. And yet the Lord is giving us this awareness, at least glimpses of awareness, glimpses of that incredible hope of glory that's waiting for us. Those are glimpses. But then the Lord says also, I have given you the gift of the Holy Spirit so that you may not fall away. That you may not fall away during times of crisis, difficult problems, that you will not fall away, that you will not run away from the gospel, you will not run away from Christian values, from Christian knowledge, from knowledge of our faith. But above all, that you not run away from God himself, who is at the very foundation of who we are. They will expel you from synagogues. In fact, the hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he's offering worship to God. They will do this because they have not known either the Father or me. Today too, the persecution of many Christians around the world, because they don't know. You know, in our own country, where Christianity is really persecuted in some way, because it's considered something that is, you know, opposed to some form of progress or some form of vision ideological vision of what we should be, what is true freedom, whatever it may be. But we know that if we begin to follow it, many have done so already in the past. Or Marxist, all kinds of ideologies, we know where they lead. Unless we root ourselves in the gospel, in the knowledge of the truth, then we will be flouting, and we're going to be wandering, not knowing, wandering, what should we do? But we have this gift. So the Lord says to us, He will give us this gift of the Holy Spirit, this consoler, this advocate, because I have told you this, so that when the hour comes, the hour of difficulties, out of problems, that you may remember what I have told you, that I'll be with you, that I'll take care of you, I'll guide you. You'll know what to do, what you need, you'll know what to say, that you don't have to be afraid. The Spirit of truth will testify to me, says the Lord, and you will also testify. And so, not only is Saint Paul testifying, and the apostles, and so on, but we are invited to that testimony too. We're invited to testify. By the way we are, the way we do things, what we say, how we are relating to each other, how we're taking care of those who are in need, how we instruct and guide others so that they may not fall into traps which would be destructive for them. Because why? Is because the Spirit has been given to us and has taken root in us. And we understand the basic premises of our faith, that in Jesus we have eternal life. God, who has formed us from the beginning, God has created us, He sustains us, but He has also called us to be holy and immaculate, to share the glory of God, to share divinity. By adoption, He's given us His grace. So what we have before us is just wonderful, extraordinary things. That's why we don't have to be afraid. He's with us. He has given us His Holy Spirit. He has given us Himself, Jesus, in the Eucharist, so we may honor the Father, we may worship the Father, that we may see in Jesus the Father's love for us, and that we may anticipate the future glory, the paradise prepared for us by the Son of God, guided by the Holy Spirit.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.